Wow, thank you so much. It has truly been an honor for Lacey and I to have served here for 7 years as the youth pastors. And we look back on this time of getting to know you and having the opportunity to serve this church and just thank God. I mean, God is so good. He's just so faithful to have led our paths here, and then to be able to be in this season that we're in together as a church is, for us, is just astounding because of the faithfulness of God. Yeah, throughout this week, beginning last Sunday morning when the church found out what was happening and that we were chosen by the church board to be the nominee, senior pastor, we have just been overwhelmed with the amount of support and encouragement that you all have been giving to us, messaging us, talking to us, and we just want to say thank you. Thank you for your excitement and your desire to see God's will be accomplished. We know that this is a new season. We know that this is a different season. And I have come to realize that when we are in different seasons, when we are in uncharted territory, that there are unknowns, that there are question marks. I mean, it's like that in life, not just with our church, but you bring home your first child from the hospital, and you're wondering, what is this going to be like? How is this going to change our world? And it does. It really does. You know, your oldest gets his driver's license, and you wonder, wow, we've not been here before. Like, we always take him or her to this place or that place, and now they're leaving on their own. I hope they paid attention in driver's ed. You know, we just face new seasons in life, and it seems like it happens continually, whether we want to or not. We are just facing, as we get older, as we get more experience in life, as we just go through the things that God's prepared for us, it's a new season. Sometimes they're very difficult, sometimes they aren't, but it's always uncharted territory because we've never been there before. Maybe it's the new job. Do you have what it takes to do it? It's a new ministry that you're going to be involved in. You know, am I going to be a good fit for what this is requiring of me? Am I going to make a difference? And as a church, a new season. How's this going to affect you? How's this going to affect your family? Questions that we have as we walk through seasons like this. And what I have found in our life as we have been walking into this season, and as we have found just in the different life seasons, is that we realize real quickly, that we need help. We need help. And so I want to ask you, if you would, to open up your Bibles to Psalm chapter 23. Psalm chapter 23, and if you're new to the scriptures, it's going to be right in the middle of your Bible. You can open right up to that and then turn to Psalm chapter 23. As you're turning there, please stand with me, and we're going to honor the word of the Lord by reading it together. Psalm chapter 23, verse 1 says this: "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing." Some of you are familiar with the King James Version. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." You maybe have memorized that as a child. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that as we walk into new seasons with excitement, with anticipation, with question marks, we know that you've already been in the seasons ahead of us. Lord, you are the first and the last and everything in between. You're the beginning, you're the end, and you have been everywhere. And God, we pray that this morning, as we humble ourselves before you, that we will hear your word, and that it will not just affect our church, but it will affect our personal lives this week. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You could be seated. Psalm chapter 23 is one of the most well-known scriptures, I think, in the Old Testament. Whether someone goes to church or not, they have probably heard Psalm chapter 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing, I shall not want." And as a kid, I used to put this psalm into a box. And it was the box that I would pull out, or I would notice pastors would pull out during difficult times. Someone passed away, let's pull out Psalm 23. You know, if someone is going through a divorce, let's pull out Psalm 23. There's a sickness, there's a diagnosis, there's a difficult time. Let's pull out Psalm 23. But I've come to realize that Psalm 23 and this description of God being our shepherd is not just for troubling times. It's for all times. This description of who God is and who he wants to be in our lives is for life. It's for the seasons that we walk through. The Hebrew word for shepherd speaks in the Old Testament of someone who pastures and leads and feeds, as you can imagine, and also cares. Someone who cares. Now, David, the one who wrote Psalm chapter 23, was very much experienced in shepherding because he was a shepherd before he became the king of Israel. And so he understood the dynamics of this, that a shepherd is to feed and pasture, and a shepherd is to care for the flock. But I found that a shepherd in those days went way beyond just the caring for the flock. I'm sure you've seen paintings like this, or a picture in a kid's Bible of a nice little man with a staff, and of course he's got the thing over his shoulder. I don't know if that's like after the game, you know, he wipes it. I don't know what it's for. But the nice little man standing there, and he's got the sheep, and the sheep are just like, bah, this is great. This is awesome. I'm enjoying this. And it seems so peaceful, doesn't it? And it seems so serene. But as you look at that, you realize life is not always like that. Life is not always like that where you're just, bah. You know, you're just there. And it's so quiet. And we come to realize that a true shepherd didn't just use his staff, you know, to maybe play tic-tac-toe in the dirt with the sheep. You know, like, this is great, and, you know. They went again. It is so much more than that. You see, a shepherd in the Near East went beyond just caring in the simplest terms of the sheep. The shepherd in the Near East at that time was looking out for enemies. The shepherd at that time was constantly protecting and rescuing the sheep from attackers. He was doctoring the wounded. He was caring for the sick and trying to get them better. He was sharing his life, literally living with the sheep, caring for them, and at times even laying down his life to protect them. That's the shepherd of Psalm chapter 23. In the New Testament, we see God, we see the Lord being described not just as a shepherd, but as the shepherd, as the one shepherd, as the chief shepherd, as the good shepherd. The shepherd that is out in front rescuing, out in front protecting, out in front seeing what needs to happen, seeing which direction that we need to go. I love the thought of a shepherd as we go through seasons in life, that he's our shepherd. That he's out in front, and as you allow him to be in front of your life as the king of your life, you will find that he is caring for you, and he's protecting you, and he's continually rescuing you and forgiving you, and he is providing everything that you need in your life. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Psalm 23 goes on to say, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Have you ever experienced God guiding you along the right paths? You know, you're stepping into a new season, you're stepping into a new situation, but as you look back a few months later, you're like, wow, God's been leading me this whole time. You look back a few years, oh my goodness, that's why that happened. God has been leading me along the right paths for his name's sake. This is something that Lacey and I have experienced over the course of our life, of God guiding us along his right paths. As a young person, we had prayed so many times, Lord, here am I, send me, here am I, whatever you want me to do, that's what I want to do. We used to sing a song back in the day, and it was this, I won't sing it for you, but it just says this, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. And that was our prayer, that was the cry of our heart, God, use us. We're nothing, but God, use us if you want to send us, if you want to use us. Now, many years ago, when I was 17 years old, I asked Lacey out on our very first date. And some of you might think, 17, starting a serious relationship, like what's up with that? But I have to let you know, I was very mature as a 17-year-old. I don't want you to think 17-year-olds nowadays, all right? We're talking very mature, 17. Maybe not. But I was 17. She was 16. And I asked her out on our first date, and we decided to go to a place called Silver Dollar City. Now, this is a small amusement park in Branson, Missouri, and you might be wondering, wow, Keith, that's big time. That's setting the bar high, taking her to an amusement park. All of us guys know how much that costs. Well, she had free passes, and so it worked out pretty well. I was excited about it. So we go to Silver Dollar City, and we had a great day. Now, I have to tell you that when I showed up at her house for us to go on this date, I was wearing a shirt. You're going to love this. I was wearing a t-shirt, and on the back, it says this, "I am Satan's personal nightmare." Some of you are laughing, but I doubt any of you ever have had that shirt in your wardrobe. "I am Satan's personal nightmare." Now, you might ask, why did you wear that shirt on your first date? Because that could really scare and everybody else in the amusement park. Well, it's basically because of this. It was the only shirt that I owned that matched my blue and green plaid shorts. You know what I'm saying? And so as I was looking through, that was going to be it for the first date. So I put that on and wore it. Now, just a side note from that shirt, I actually bought that when I was in seventh grade. And it was way too big. I don't know why I bought that size, but it was a way too big shirt that I got in seventh grade. And I still remember seventh grade wearing it to middle school. And it was so long. You know, it was so long that I had to tuck it in. And I had some guys at school come up to me and they're like, "Keith, what's up with that?" I'm like, "What?" They're like, "The back of your shirt says, 'I am Satan's.'" Yeah. No, that's not good. That's not good. So that's a t-shirt that I wore on our first date. And we had a great time. I remember a great roast beef sandwich that I had. That was really good, too. But one thing I remember about that date is that we actually had a talk. And it wasn't like we talked for an hour about this, but I remember on this very, very first day, we talked about God's call on our life. We talked about some of our future, not marriage and those things, but just that, hey, I believe God's called me to the ministry. And she's saying the same thing, and we're just talking. And it's kind of one of those things like, oh, that's pretty cool, you know? Like, let's put that back in the files and remember that. But that was even on our first day. We were just talking about him and about his plan for our lives and serving him. We wanted to make a difference. And we've experienced this chief shepherd guiding us along our lives in the right paths for his name's sake. About a month and a half, 2 months after we were married, We accepted a position to be youth pastors in Ash Grove, Missouri, and so we started working with students. We were working with students before on a volunteer basis, but then as youth pastor. And for the last 20 years, that's what we've been doing, is ministering and has been pastoring with a focus on students. About 4 years ago, I was in my office praying, and I was actually praying about the future. I was praying to the Good Shepherd. "God, what do you have for us? Like, what would you have us to do?" And I was praying, I was seeking the Lord, and I didn't know what the Lord had for us, but I was just praying and seeking, "God, what do you have for us? We just want to do your will." And I remember in my office 4 years ago, like it was yesterday, something dropped into my heart, and I knew that in the meeting I was getting ready to go into with Pastor Joel, that something significant was going to happen. Now, you might say, well, you probably knew he was going to say that. Actually, that had never crossed my mind. I felt there was going to be something significant happened when I went in and met with him a few minutes later, not knowing what that would be. In my mind, I thought of a few scenarios. One was, he's going to say, "You're doing a great job as a youth pastor. Keep it up." I thought, well, one scenario might be that he's going to say, "Keith, you're kind of getting old, and maybe it's time for you to move on." You know what I'm saying? Like out of town. And I was thinking some of these thoughts. I mean, being real, being honest, thinking some of these thoughts and not knowing what that meeting was going to be. And then I walked into his meeting. He shared about that last week, that 4 years ago, as we met in his office, he said to me at the end of the meeting that he saw us as potential replacements as pastors of this church upon their retirement. And to say that I was shocked was an understatement, because it wasn't on our radar. And Lacey and I went through this period of time where that just kind of described our life as it related to this. This is a shock. Like, what? Like, we didn't see that coming. We didn't have that on our radar. We went through a time then of questioning, like, really, us? Like, why us? We went through a time of questioning, like, senior pastoring, is that really where we see ourselves going? Like I said a moment ago, we had been youth pastoring and working with students for around 20 years. And we're asking questions like, do we really want to follow Pastor Joel and Donna? I mean, come on. Come on. We're thinking, are we crazy for even considering this? This is Joel and Donna Stocker. And you think I'm just having fun with this? Like, I'm for real. When I go to district conferences and different places, and they know that I'm serving under Pastor Joel and Donna, people are in awe. They're like, what's it like? They're legends. And I'm not just saying that. You guys know, I'm telling you, people outside of this church in the Fellowship of the Assemblies of God know it. They're legends. And we begin to ask these questions like, are we crazy for even considering following people like that? Well, as you guys have experienced in your lives, I'm sure there are obviously questions that come up when you face new seasons in life, whatever they are, but there are also those times when you realize, you know what, maybe the answers to those, some of those questions don't matter right now. Maybe what matters is that my heart is right before Him. Maybe what matters is that our heart is willing, whatever He has for us. Whatever He asks for us, a willingness. And so we began to shift in our hearts to a place of willingness. God, Your will be done. God, we want Your kingdom to advance. Use us however You want to use us. That willingness you'll find in your lives as you come to that place turns then. Because then it gives God the opportunity to throw His peace into your heart. I have found that many times the peace doesn't come flooding into your heart when you're still asking all the questions. But when you come to a place of, I don't have all the answers, but I trust You. I trust You that You're my good shepherd, that You're out in front leading the way. And God's peace just began to come into our heart, began to reign in our hearts, and we came to a place where we are now, where we are excited. We are excited about this season. We are excited about being the nominee to be your pastor. We are excited about the future that God has for this church. We love the people of this community. I tell you what, we've been here for 7 years. Without a shadow of a doubt, we can say, we love you. We love you. We love your families. We love what God's doing in your lives. We love the growth that we see happening in people's lives as they submit their lives to Jesus. We love you. And I want to take a few moments this morning to share 10 of the things that I love the most about this church. And I hope that as I share 10 of these things that I love the most about CCC, and it was really hard to narrow it down, believe me, but as I wanted to share these things, I hope that you can hear a little bit more of our hearts, a little bit more of what God's placed in our heart. These are not in any particular order per se. They're not alphabetical. They're not in ascending or descending order. But I want to share 10 things that we love most about CCC. The first one I'll mention is I love the generosity. I love the generosity of this place. Last year, we experienced, all of us, giving over $700,000 to missions to affect this world for the kingdom. Over $700,000. We have truly become a church where we operate not with hands shut and clenched with what we have, but with hands open, we're giving. We're sacrificing. We want to affect this world. I have never been around a group of people that are willing to give more. I've never been around a group of people that are willing to sacrifice more, that are willing to go without in order to affect lives in other nations. I've never been around people that are so excited and ready to give when we have kids that are wanting to go to winter camp or to kids camp and they might not have the funds. And the way these arms shoot up in this place, people are just excited about affecting kids' lives. It might be people in our community that have needs, or with our Samaritan Fund, people in our church that have needs, and this church just flat out gives. I love the generosity. And this generosity that you all have is affecting other churches now as well. I was just on the phone this week with a friend of mine who planted a church in southern Michigan years ago. And not only did this church help his family with personal needs as they started to get this church going and they didn't have finances, not only did this church help in that area, but he told me this week that Pastor Joel came alongside him and helped them get their missions program going. And since that time, this church has given over $1 million to missions. I'm telling you what, I love the generosity of this place. This past Monday, I was able to attend part of the GPI. And as I observed a huge group of people crying out to God for the lost in the world, it hit me once again. We are truly affecting every nation on the planet. I'll tell you what, I love the generosity of this church. I love the heart for worship in this place. We've experienced it this morning where we come in and there is a celebration in our heart because he is everything to us. I love that the kids and the young people, I love that the kids camps and retreats, I love that the young adult services, I love that the ministries, the choir, I mean, everyone just has a heart to worship God. Unashamedly, to say he is our King. Colossians 1 shows us that that is fitting. It says, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church, the firstborn from the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And I love when we come together as a body of believers that we don't lose sight of that. We worship our God. I love the unity that we experience in this place. Psalm 133 says, how good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. And it goes on to say, for there the Lord commands his blessing. And that blessing is life forevermore. We experience life in this place. We experience unity in this place. One of the joys that Lacey and I have had over the last number of years is spending time with the board members and their wives. And there have been so many times that I've left a board meeting or more recently board interviews, and I have had the thought, I have just been in the presence with godly men and women. When people look at the church, sometimes they wonder, are they real? That person attends there, are they real? Are they going to be any different? And as we have spent time with your church board and their wives, we have found that they are real, that they are godly, that they are full of integrity. These people come into meetings, and I know that they have spent time with Jesus. And they come in ready to serve. They have a heart to see this place unified, so they unify themselves. And we see the results in this church. I'm telling you what, this church stands out. And I believe it's because there is a unity in this place, and God has chosen because of that unity to throw down his blessing. I love the foundation of the Word of God in this place. I love it. For 30 years, Pastor Joel has dedicated himself to preaching the Word clearly and strongly. We have to keep in front of us that it's our belief in the Word of God and our trust in the Word of God that matters. Societal norms will change, modern philosophies change, popular opinions change, but it's the Word of the Lord, the timeless, inspired, God-breathed words that stand forever. And so I want to take a moment right now to just say this. I believe there is one true God, revealed in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, who is Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. I believe that even though all have sinned, every person can experience right relationship with God by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. I believe in the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which empowers believers, empowers us to be his witnesses. And as experienced on the day of Pentecost and throughout the day and throughout the New Testament, the initial physical evidence of receiving the second work of the Holy Spirit is having a heavenly prayer language. I believe in divine healing and miracles and signs and wonders. I believe that believers are holy in God's sight, and that through his grace, we can walk free from sin, we can walk free from attachments, from addictions, and we can win over temptation. I believe that Jesus is coming back for his church as promised. And until his return, I believe that we as a church have a mission to go and make disciples of all nations, to go and to seek to save the lost. And until his return, we proclaim the hope and the salvation that comes through the name and the only name, Jesus Christ. I want you to know this morning that as I've shared that with you, it is nothing different than you have heard preached from this pulpit for the past 30 years. I love the ministries for every generation in this place. You know, often churches are known by their focused demographic. There's one pastor that I've met whose church is 70% single 20-somethings. 70% single 20-somethings. Now, I respect different approaches to ministry. God uses all means and all methods to reach. But I love the nurseries at CCC being full. I love kids being excited about coming to church and tugging on mom and dad's coat. Let's go, let's go. I love teenagers passionately serving God. I love young adults encouraging each other in the faith and married couples and parents worshiping God together. I love adults giving their time and energy to serve, and I love older adults that are in this church that have so much to offer, so much wisdom and godliness, and they're willing to pass it on to those who are younger. About a month ago, we had a retreat for students as we headed back into school, and some of you might not know this, but the Primetimer group prepared a dinner, drove to Camp Nayati, and served it to 145 hungry students and leaders. I'll tell you what, these people are saying, we have so much to give, and we're willing to give it. And in that place, I wish you could have seen the generations being bridged. These older adults loving these teenagers. These teenagers respecting the older adults. I love the ministries for every generation. And we know that these ministries are led by extraordinary pastors in this place. It took me about an hour in my very first staff meeting 7 years ago to realize that I was surrounded by anointed, called, and gifted leaders. And during the last 7 years, I have learned from every single one of them. Pastor Don, Pastor Jake, Pastor Kelly, Pastor Leon, Pastor Lynn, Pastor Pat are people that are loved by this congregation, and they're loved by Lacey and I. Since our staff retreat in June, when they became aware of what was happening, Lacey and I have been meeting with them in our home. We've been connecting with them. We've been hearing their heart. I'll tell you what, this church is blessed to have the staff that we have. Every time that I'm with them, I'm more impressed with their heart for God and their commitment to you. And if I was the lead pastor, there could be structural changes in the future to enhance and expand our reach. But as it concerns the current staff, I want you to know that Lacey and I see God's hand on their lives, and we see the results of their ministries in this place. I love the family culture. I love the family culture of this place. In our first interview with the board, they asked the questions and Lacey and I responded. In the second board interview, Lacey and I came prepared to ask them the questions. And I don't know which one was harder for all of us through that process, but we came in and we were able to spend time with the church board and ask them questions about this church, about their thoughts, about their dreams. And one of the things that they said to us when we asked about what they loved about this church was that they love the family feel. They love the family feel. This place is special in that you care for each other. You're there for each other. You're okay sitting by each other. You live life with each other. You do ministry with each other. You pray for each other. You come alongside each other whenever there's a difficult time or difficult season in your life. I love the family culture. And for Lacey and I, the family culture, the family feel that we experience here is what we want to have in our own family. I'm in love with Lacey, and here in a few months, we're going to celebrate our 20th wedding anniversary. And we decided a long time ago that we are going to prioritize our marriage and our family. During these last 20 years, we have been blessed with three awesome kids. Many of you know them, Ethan, just got his driver's license a few months ago, so that's a new season for us. Eric just dislocated and broke his thumb yesterday in a soccer game, so we spent time in the ER yesterday. That's a new season for us. Kayla's in fourth grade, and she is killing it in her multiplication tables, and it's great. It's great. I'm glad she hasn't asked me for help. She'll be like, oh, I don't know. We love being parents. We love being parents. It's hard to believe that our kids are getting that much older. We know that as parents that happens, right? Whether we like it or not, we're like, stay this tall, you know, and they just keep going. But I want it to be clear that I don't plan to hurry this parenting thing along. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to wish it away. And I've committed myself to fully embracing my role as a father and as a husband. I want to love my wife and I want to love my kids. And I believe that that is one of the best things that I could do for a ministry, for a church, is to faithfully love my wife and to pray, God, help me be the best dad that I can be to my kids. I want to be with them. I want to lead them. I want to experience life with them. We love the family culture of this church. It's celebrated here. Next, let me say this. I love the past 30 years. I love the past 30 years. We reach great heights by climbing on the shoulders of great men and women. And words can't fully express the impact that Pastor Joel and Donna have had on Lacey and I and our personal relationship with them. And words can't fully express the impact that they have had on all of us. But I believe that our lives can. And I believe that over the next few months and years, we're going to have opportunity to continue to honor them and continue to say thank you for what they've done. But in this moment, I would like to ask you this. If Pastor Joel has pastored you for over 20 years, would you please stand? If Pastor Joel has ever performed your wedding ceremony, could you please stand? And stay standing, please. If Pastor Joel has ministered at a funeral of one of your loved ones or one of your friends, would you please stand? If Pastor Joel has ever personally prayed for you, counseled you, or visited you, would you please stand? And if Pastor Joel has ever preached a message and on that day you felt like it was exactly what you needed, would you please stand? Pastor Joel and Donna, you have served this congregation for over 30 years. Words can't express. This is just one moment of many. Hopefully our lives can. Would you please join me in honoring Pastor Joel and Donna? Lord, as you use Pastor Joel and Donna to lead this church to health and truly impact in this entire world. And Pastor Joel asked me in front of the church board in our last interview for my thoughts about them remaining in the church, being part of this congregation after their retirement, if I was elected pastor. And he asked me this question, as you heard last week, do I see it as positive, negative, or neutral? Honestly, I'm like, finally, an easy question. Here's what I said. I said, I see it as positive because of the potential for them to be a mentor, to have someone who's in the community to meet for coffee, to call, to pick their brain, and to have their prayer support would be a huge blessing for a new pastor. And I went on to say that the wisdom and experience in ministry, you can't quantify that. It's huge to have them as friends, confidants, and mentors. And it would be one of the most amazing things in the world. Telling you what, we love you, Pastor Joel and Donna. We love your leadership. We love the example that you've set for Lacey and I, for this entire church. I love the past 30 years. I love the present. And when I say the present, I'm talking about all of you, what God is doing in your lives. I love how you are open to the moving of the Holy Spirit, how you want God to speak his word into you, not just on Sunday morning, but throughout the week. I love your maturity in the faith. I love how you care for each other. I mean, I love what God has brought together in this place as all of our paths have intersected in this moment and in this season. I love what God is doing in this place. Let me say this. I love the future. I love the future. I'm convinced that God has plans for this congregation that are bigger than anyone could ever ask or imagine. It's bigger. It's way bigger. A number of years ago, I can't give you the date, but a number of years ago, Pastor Joel shared with us on a Sunday morning that he was in his office praying, and he looked out the window, and he felt like the Lord dropped into his heart that CCC stood for Connecting the Community to Christ. And he told us on that day that, you know, he wasn't looking to make a name change. He just said that's what the Lord dropped into his heart. CCC stands for Connecting the Community to Christ. And when he shared that on a Sunday morning, I was sitting right over there. And that dropped into my spirit. It was a prophetic word. It was a prophetic word. I didn't have to write it down. I didn't have to give myself a reminder so that I could think about it later. It dropped into my heart, and it has never left. I believe that God's mission for this church is to connect this community to Christ and beyond. And I'm excited for what God might be up to in the future. Without a doubt, I believe God has a future of health and worldwide impact for this church. Finally, if you're counting, this is number 10. I love the desire of this congregation to be in the center of God's will, for his plans and his will and his desires to be accomplished. Truly, Lacey and I are humbled and honored to be the nominee. But more than anything else, we want God's will to be accomplished in your lives, in your families, and in this church. Jesus taught us to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And our prayer is that the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, will guide our lives in the right paths for his name's sake. He's so faithful to do that. Before I close, I want to turn your attention back to Psalm chapter 23, where it says, "The Lord is our shepherd. I lack nothing." The Lord is your shepherd. You lack nothing. As a church heading into a new season, because he is our shepherd, because he is out front, we lack no wisdom. We lack no guidance. He will provide. In your lives, whatever that you're facing in this moment, as you walk into this church, if the Lord is out front, if he is your shepherd, you can know this, you lack nothing. You see, we lack nothing because he is everything. As a believer in Jesus, you lack no strength to defeat that temptation. As a believer in Jesus, you lack no patience for that marriage. As a believer in Jesus, no matter what you face, I'm here to tell you this morning, the Lord is your shepherd. You lack nothing. In a moment, we are going to share communion together. And this is a celebration. This is a celebration of the great shepherd. The one who, as we read in the New Testament, in the book of John, was willing to lay down his life for the sheep. The one who was willing to give everything, to sacrifice everything, so that we could have relationship with this good shepherd. And as we take communion this morning, as we experience this unifying time together, my prayer is that we will experience the peace of God coming into our hearts. And no matter what season that you're in your life, with your family, with your job, whatever it might be, knowing that he is our shepherd and we lack nothing. Lord, I thank you for your word that has been shared this morning. I pray that it will go deep into our hearts, that when we walk away from this place on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, that we're going to be living with that confidence, with that faith, with that trust, that if you are out front, if you are leading the way, we have nothing to worry about, that you offer all guidance, strength, wisdom, grace, patience, peace, anything that we need, Lord, you provide, for we have every spiritual blessing in you. We thank you, God, for being the one who provides for our every need, according to your riches and your glory in Christ Jesus. Amen.
This has been a very intimate family time for our congregation. We thank you for delivering your heart to us, Pastor. We've chosen to close our service today by gathering as a family around the Lord's table. Our format is that the eldership serves us, we hold the elements until we've all been served, and then we partake together. If you're visiting with us today, I want you to know that we do not have a closed communion service. We have an open communion service. And you're very welcome to participate with us. You don't have to have your name on a membership roster or a line or something like that. Because, as I've said hundreds of times, this is not our table, it's the Lord's table. This is not our supper, it's the Lord's supper. And now as a family, a church family, we gather around his table and remember what he did for us on Calvary. Elders, please serve us. Pastor Leon?
Your kindness, it leads me to repentance. Your goodness draws me to your side. Your mercy caused me to be like you. Your favor, it is my delight. Every day I'll awaken my praise and pour out a song from my heart that you
hold bread, which represents the beaten and bruised body of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, by your stripes we are healed. We hold in our other hand a cup, which represents the blood of Jesus that was spilt for us on Calvary. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Praise God, Jesus shed his blood, that we have forgiveness of sins. I'm going to ask Pastor Lacey to please bless these elements just before we take them.
Jesus, we thank you. God, we can't thank you enough for what you did on that cross for us. Lord, we were so undeserving, but God, you still did it. And you loved us that much to take on the beating, to take on the cross, Lord. And we thank you, Jesus. Right now, we remember those things that you did for us, God. We praise you. We stand in awe of you, Lord. We love you so much. Now we remember what you did, God. Every day of our lives, may we remember and praise you for it. Amen.
Let us partake together. After you've put your cup in the pew rack, stand and let's proclaim the goodness of God as Pastor Leon leads us, please. Between now and November 13th, when this congregation will cast a ballot on this nominee, Pastor Keith will have the opportunity to preach two more times, the first two Sundays in November. As I have shared with him, I said I thought today's message was very appropriate to talk about CCC and how you see CCC and so forth. The other two messages won't be anything like that. They'll just be the word of the Lord being preached. I thank you for sharing your heart with us today. This was a window that all of us needed to see. I was talking with my son on the phone last night. He said, "You tell Rhonda on Monday morning to send me that CD right away. I want to listen to it. Today's message." And I would encourage you, if you know members of your family or others who maybe, for whatever reason, had to miss today, hear me. This message today is just as important as last Sunday's message. Just a little shorter, which is a good thing, okay? And next Sunday, try your best not to miss church next Sunday. Next Sunday's speaker has been planned in the sequence of things for over 2 years. We will welcome to our pulpit Assistant General Superintendent in the Assemblies of God, Alton Garrison. to second man from the very top of our denominational structure. He has been an evangelist. He has been a pastor. And he is now an incredible overseer over our fellowship. He served one of the strongest churches in this country for 13 years and then stepped aside as a staff member under him took over the church. And that church has skyrocketed from that day to this. We are honored to have Alton Garrison in this pulpit next Sunday morning to, from his knowledge and his journey, share with us things that we need to know as we move forward. You don't plan a Sunday like next Sunday 2 months ago. You plan it well over 2 years ago. Please don't miss next Sunday. If you appreciated hearing Pastor Keith's heart, would you give him a round of applause, Shelley? And I pray the Lord would bless you and keep you, and the Lord would make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And God would grant unto all of us an understanding during this time of transition, in our going out and our coming in and our lying down and our rising up and our labor and in our leisure. God would lead us as the scripture said he would today. In Christ's name, amen. Have a good day.